Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Okay, Brandon, it is Faithful Fridays, God Talk Fridays, if you will. It's time for me and you to learn something about the universe and all that is around us. We once again turn to the Center for Action and Contemplation. You can find our good friends and Richard Rohr at CAC.org. They're going through a series called Powerlessness. We learn by doing it wrong. Brandon, happy Faith Friday to you.
Well, happy Faith Friday to you, Larry. I do really appreciate it when you lower your voice and get calm on me for Faith Fridays. I'm not sure God really requires that, but hey, you know what? Whatever you need to do.
Okay, let's take a little bit of a quote and then we'll get into it. Any talk of growth, achievement, climbing, improving, and progress highly appeals to the ego. But the only way we stay on the path with any authenticity is to constantly experience our incapacity to do it, our failure at doing it. That's what makes us, to use my language, fall upward. Otherwise, we're really not climbing. We're just thinking we're climbing by saying to ourselves, look, I'm better today. Look, I'm holier than I was last week. Look, my prayer is improving. That really doesn't teach us anything or lead us anywhere new. Just one more smidge. Richard's now quoting St. Therese of Lisieux. What it reveals is a lot of us Christians have sought, without knowing it, a certain self-satisfaction, a certain smugness. We think, I'm a good Christian. I go to church on Sunday. I read the Bible. I love Jesus. And that's why we still have racism, sexism, homophobia, and classism at the highest levels. Richard, bringing it this Friday, Brandon.
Yeah, I love this reading. Obviously, I mean, it's one of the reasons we do this. It's funny because I'm reading, as I've mentioned before, I'm reading this book called Low Anthropology, and it's all about this. Now, I feel like it's a Rohrism for the Gen Zers or the millennials, because he's sort of saying the exact same thing. When he talks about the idea of achievement, climbing, improving, he calls that high anthropology. He says it's so much of what we do, we have no control over. I mean, we do the best we can. Sometimes it's just a genetic lottery. Maybe we're born, like if you're an NBA player, if you're not 6'10", probably not playing in the NBA. And the same thing goes with Christianity and our faith. We think, oh, if I just pray harder, if I do this, if I go to church more often, I'm going to be holier and I'm going to know God more deeply. And it's in what Low Anthropology is saying and what Rohr is really pushing into is that it's exactly the opposite. It's the inverse of that. We need to just sit back and say, I am helpless without you. He talks about the 12-step program in here, that we are helpless without the power of God. So if you say, I can't do anything, like no matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, I can't do anything without God's help. It's a different thing than saying, hey, if I work harder, you know, I could somehow move God into helping me. So if I pray harder, if I do this more, I can get God to kind of come on my side. That's the exact opposite of what Rohr's talking about. There's nothing you can do to make God more.
I got so many thousands of questions in here. By the way, I think this works for both success and failure, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before. Someone that has an alcohol problem, it's genetic, right? They were born
with this
chromosome or whatever to be predisposed to be an alcoholic. By the way, that's failure. But success is not like you weren't destined to be successful, but a lot of people take credit for their success. But there was no predictor of that you were success. It's all luck or disluck.
Well, yes and no. I mean, so you threw out a couple of falsisms in there. Number one, not every person that's an alcoholic has a predisposition to be an alcoholic.
But the majority.
A lot. I don't know what the number is, but a lot.
But that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is saying. They're saying it's powerless.
You're powerless to defeat this thing. You're powerless against this thing. It doesn't say that had you never taken a drink, you wouldn't be an alcoholic, right? Maybe if you weren't in an abusive family, maybe you didn't need to self-medicate. There are other things that are going on. That's all I'm saying. We don't need to get into the science of alcoholism. What Alcoholics Anonymous is simply saying is you are powerless to change this. God is the only thing that can change this. So that's what the whole point is. And then you referenced something else. What was the other thing you said about
success and
success,
failure?
Right? like if you're born into a wealthy family or a maybe a motivated family that gets you the right tutors in the right place, maybe you could genetically, you've got a bigger brain, whatever it is, yes, you could be more successful. So you could say, yes, you had a bigger chance of doing that. You know, these people said, I worked really hard. I'm like, oh, you work a lot harder than the coal miner in Angola? Because they work really hard and they're not rich and they never will be. It's not to say take away the hard work. It's simply to say if you really want to understand God and you want to find peace in this world, you got to let go of that mantra that somehow you're working hard is the reason why you got where you got.
So what's the connection to like the number one thing about AA that I know is that you have to believe in a higher power? Like
yeah, they don't say God.
Believe like what is that connection to believing in a higher power to be able to connect with your failure and where you are at life?
Well, because if you say to yourself, if I just do something, I can fix this problem. The people that come to Alcoholics Anonymous and this guy that founded or this group of people that founded it recognized it was like there was nothing they could do. They did not have the power to will their way out of alcoholism, right? So they're saying, look, you have to accept the fact that there is a higher power at work and you have to rest in that. And for whatever reason, now, there's a lot of questions around Alcoholics Anonymous, the efficacy of it, of the worldwide, of the programs that work with drug addicts and alcoholics. It's got one of the highest recidivism rates, right? More people return to alcohol through alcohol than lots of other programs. So it's not this perfect program. But what Rohr's talking about is this idea of accepting that it's the inverse of what we're told in America. Man, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you work hard, you could do whatever you want. That is the mantra of a lot of Christians too. Hey, if I just do more, if I'm just more perfect, if I look better, God's going to love me more. And I'm going to prayer of Jabez, dude. Name it and claim it. This prosperity gospel comes from that idea. I'd say, if I just say, God, you need to give me $1 million and an airplane. That's exactly the opposite of what Rohr's saying. Rohr's saying you fall upwards. He references that. He wrote a book called Falling Upwards. That when we surrender that idea that somehow we're in control of everything, we will fall upwards. We will get better just by accepting the fact that we have no control over it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and he's talking about his relationship with God or Jesus in this post. This idea of like failing more in your relationship helps you get closer to God.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's harder to believe in God if you got everything, right?
Yeah, he says, this is a quote from the reading. It says, this is the genius of what Paul calls the folly of the cross, the folly of failure, that it doesn't give us the satisfaction that our egos want. I don't know if I am growing. I don't know if I am deepening my relationship with Jesus, as Christians love to say. I hope I am, but any smug satisfaction in that is not going to do me or Jesus any good. But every day knowing that I have not yet begun to love Jesus, that constant experience of littleness is the Franciscan way. This idea that, man, I don't know if God does love me. I don't know if I am going to get better. I don't know if this podcast ever is going to take off. He's saying that if you rest in that, you will find the peace you're looking for. It may not be what you think that you want, but it will be what you actually need.
So if you're like a rich guy and lives on a hill and don't have anybody or let anybody into your inner circle, you never know. Like you're just kind of keeping everybody at arm distance. Juxtapose that to a poorer person who has lots of friends who tell them all the time what they're doing wrong.
Right.
You're getting told that you're a failure a lot. Not a failure, but you've got lots of faults. And to me, that is the person that grows the more, as opposed to the rich person living in the house who has nobody close to him that ever tells them their faults.
Yeah, I think obviously this is not a political show, but when we think about, I think the ultimate example of that is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is seemingly one of the most broken and just messed up individuals I don't know him at all, but of the things that he does and says and acts, I'm like, this guy is horrible. He's broken. He has never in his life ever had anyone honestly tell him the truth about himself. In fact, he works so hard at not hearing the truth. So here's the deal. Donald Trump is 76 years old. He's not going to live forever. Let's say on the outside, he lives for another 10 years. And then he goes to meet his maker for eternity. He has learned absolutely nothing about being ready for eternity. Now, people listening might say, well, what if you don't believe in eternity? That's true. What if you don't? That's the, you know, that's possible too, that there is no creator God and then you're just going to take a dirt nap and it's over. But I would argue that he's probably not a real at peace guy. Even on this plane, earthly plane, he doesn't, anybody that's really at peace doesn't seem to want to do that kind of thing. I think that's what this article is saying, is that you almost have to take the opposite approach. And it's really, really challenging, especially those of us in the West who've been raised with this idea that if I just work hard, I could do anything, you know, American dream, this and that. There is an American dream. I heard a great, great podcast recently about British immigrants, and there were two English guys talking about it. It's like, hey, I was able to come to this country and I made a better life for myself. I'm like, well, you do speak the language fluently and people in America are enamored with the British. So maybe you had an advantage, but it doesn't matter. There are plenty of people that come here. They don't have that advantage. The point Rohr is trying to make is you cannot look for the advantage or the disadvantage. You simply have to rest in the little way. Which I love. I love that idea of the little way. I'm just going to quietly go about my business.
Also, I feel like what he is essentially saying is just not looking for the success. You know, I go to church. I prayed today. I read the Bible. I'm a good human being. That seems like the easy way to go through that.
Yeah, but he's saying don't even do that. He's saying
that's what I'm saying.
If you spend your life saying, oh, I've done these things, like, well, you're missing checklist. The point. It's not a checklist. If you're not getting peace out of what you're doing, don't do it. I think that's what it comes down to. He's saying, you know, you and I talk about the meditative sits, the idea of just sort of clearing your mind and allowing God to work within that space. That is what Rohr is pushing into in a big way. And I really love that about, it's one of the reasons why we read Rohr. I love that book, Low Anthropology, because it was it was a non-Rohr way to say the same thing, which I appreciated. It was sort of a corroborating evidence that maybe, just maybe, I might be onto something, or at least those people are onto something and I can follow it.
Well, this book that he's, I've read this one about the, Rohr writes about the 12 steps, breathing underwater.
Yeah.
It is just, it will just change everything you could think. And speaking of which, Brandon, I'd like to thank you for changing the way I think on this Faithful Friday during Lent.